Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Chasey.
Happy everything.
I know, right?
A whole bunch of things happened over the last few days.
So much for being in the depth of winter. There's all kinds of partying going on.
There is. And February is traditionally a high suicide month.
Is that right?
It is.
Yes.
And there's a lot of awareness about depression and things like that. So it's kind of interesting that a whole lot of holidays or other sorts of celebrations have emerged in February.
I know. Gong Hei Fat Choi, Chinese New Year.
Chinese New Year was on the same day as BC's Family Day.
BC Family Day.
Yeah, which is a new invention.
Yes.
Because we didn't have families before 3 years ago.
We didn't have. Well, yeah. I mean, it's just that there's no break from New Year's till Easter.
Yeah.
So the sense was people needed a break.
Which I think enough.
Good. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, Family Day, I worked, but I always use, long weekends are really frustrating because you're trying to fit 5 days of work into four.
Yeah.
So
for the self-employed, it never really works out very well. It's actually a good day to get lots of stuff done because everybody else is gone. Nobody stops in and bugs you.
But that's not really the point. But
yeah, but
Chinese New Year, Family Day,
Mardi Gras. Yeah, which I just learned is the same as Fat Tuesday.
That's right.
Or no, sorry, same as
Fat Tuesday. Yeah. So Mardi is Tuesday and Gras is Fat Tuesday.
So I thought it was two separate
party
things.
The party before the 40 days of Lent.
Right.
Where you prepare your heart for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so I've always
That's how that works.
Oh, well, interesting to know. I don't even know how Lent works. Do you not eat?
No, you eat.
What happens during Lent?
Well, you usually... So the idea... So Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert.
Okay.
Right? So where the point of Lent is to exercise sacrifice.
Okay.
Like he did.
So no chocolate.
No. Yeah. So you give stuff up. Smoking, drinking, coffee, chocolate.
What?
Meat, maybe, right?
Yeah.
So
don't know about
there's
the coffee.
Extra services. So it's to understand the sacrifice and the punishment of. Right. So the Tuesday is when you whoop it up.
Yeah.
And dance in streets and drink your face off, which is what Mardi Gras is all about.
Right.
And most carnivals are tied to, these are...
Yeah, religious occurrences.
Holy days.
Well, yes.
They're not really holidays. They're holy days.
Yeah. Except that we've changed holy days to holidays, haven't we?
Yeah.
Because they're not holy. Some of these holidays are not holy at all.
Not anymore.
We're morphing them, or else we invent new ones, and they don't actually have any connection.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it goes. I always fond of that expression, the Hallmark holiday. It doesn't really mean anything, but they all do date back to some sort of Roman or Greek.
Yes,
either the celebration of I think Mother's Day was originally Matronalia, which is a Roman goddess of motherhood or
Romans knew how to party. They did all of these festivals, and actually coming up
Valentine's this idea Day, of leisure and parties is not new. It's just how we sort of organize it.
Yeah. So did you know that Feast of Lupercalia is what led to Valentine's Day?
Oh
yeah. So that's a Roman festival, 3-day festival, February 13th to 15th in honor of Juno. And so Feast of Lupercalia means a festival of the wolf.
Oh.
So what happened was, is boys would take goat skins and run through the streets, basically swinging these goat skins. Mm. And if a young woman was hit by one of the goat skins, that would bring her fertility.
Oh.
And make her bear healthy children.
Wow.
Yeah. That that was kind of the first of the the celebrations of the February celebration that
I'm
makes
just having visions of a letter coming to council. Could we please have a goat skin swinging festival?
But this has been, that particular festival had gone on for a few hundred years, and it was so wildly popular even after, what's his name? Constantine? Mm-hmm. Even after, Christianity was legalized and they were trying to kind of, shut down some of these crazy pagan festivals where there was nothing but drinking and eating and sex for 3 days. And they couldn't. That was such a popular festival, this idea of the fertility thing. So the story is...
Well, a lot of holidays come down to fertility.
Yeah.
Easter is about fertility, and Valentine's Day is about fertility.
Yeah.
Even Christmas is really about
the
results of fertility.
The results.
Yeah.
So it turns out, apparently, this is how the story goes, that Claudius II used to ban marriage among young boys to make sure that he had lots of boys, lots of young men for his army. And then there was a Saint Valentine who basically who opposed the ban and wed people in secret. And so they kind of...
Awesome sauce.
Yeah. And so the Christians kind of adopted this story into the Valentine's Day festival time. Mm-hmm. The story goes that Saint Valentine's was
he persecuted?
He was imprisoned and eventually executed for his crime of marrying people in secret, and that he was executed on February 14th. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of how the Christian connection comes in. But that came like hundreds of years after this Lupercalia festival, right?
And now we drink champagne and eat caviar.
Yeah.
Go figure.
I know. And the evolution, like, it's just like any holiday, the evolution of this thing is so interesting, mm-hmm. how we change and morph. And
a lot of them are commercial.
Oh, right? Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the Valentine's cards idea was, you know, like there were little handwritten notes, mm-hmm. and there was a whole lot of little rituals about pinning the name of somebody to your sleeve and wearing it around. And that is going to be your next, you know, whatever.
So public displays of affection.
Yeah.
But
these cards ideas didn't become this massive thing until Hallmark got a hold of it in mm-hmm. the 1800s, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah. I mean, that's just, Hallmark did have a massive effect on the Hallmark holiday industry.
Absolutely. But they're, you know, just the word holiday. So when we say we're going on holiday, we're not really going on holiday.
You're not going on holiday.
No.
No, you're going on vacation.
Yes. And even the word vacation. I mean, if you, the source of the word to vacate, like to abandon ship, to
let's get out of here,
right? To empty out,
yeah. So where did that come from?
Well, I think it was. It goes back to the UK when they would have the school break and empty out the school, right? So teachers and students would vacate. Therefore, it would be their annual vacation,
right.
of the school.
The annual vacation,
yes. Yes.
Interesting.
I know. But just this concept of leaving your life.
Yeah.
I don't even, I'm not sure I like the word vacation.
Well, I don't know because we don't.
How do you do that? You can't do that.
No. It's, well, I mean.
So what do you call it?
We go away, but we don't abandon anything really, right? Like you always take your family, you take your, you know, you just, it's just a little break.
So taken a word and sort of turned it upside down.
So we need a new word.
Because in a parallel universe, to vacate or to go on vacation would be to leave, you know, wouldn't necessarily be a positive.
Yeah. Be like abandonment.
Totally.
Okay. The evolution of language is what we do.
Please excuse Louise, for she will abandon you from February 1st to February 14th for her annual vacation.
Actually, maybe we should do that.
Because then
nobody
would
text you or email or phone, help me. You'd be totally abandoning everything.
Louise, that's what I'm going to put on my next notice. Louise has abandoned you.
Oh, who do you phone in sick to, Louise?
Nobody. I wish somebody would write me a note. Please excuse Louise, for she is in dire need of a vacation.
Okay, that we've established. Yes. It's February. We all seem to be in dire need of a vacation.
Right, and so we're all... And it's funny. I mean, it's not by accident that all of these celebrations are lining up. It probably has as much to do with where the sun is relative to the planet and right?
Have you noticed that it gets lighter?
Yes.
Like it just seems like February is so obvious. Mm-hmm. I don't know, we gain like 9 minutes a day or something. Yeah. It's so quick.
The birds and I mean we think we're so clever that we organize all these things, but they really sort of organized for us by nature and we just kind of recognize, "Oh, hey."
Well, that was like the seasonal indicators that Kathy Stubbington did with Runaway Moon, right? The calendario, not relying on the Julian calendar months and days, like the numbers and the months, but relying on seasonal indicators. Yes. Like when you hear the chickadees start to make their hey baby song, then, you know, that's a certain time of year that you then do this. Maybe you, I don't know, plant your early kale or something, right? Like it's all about not using the calendar, but using the nature, you know, nature's and signals around you.
Our own clock.
Yeah.
Like if we had no phone, no TV, no connection, we would celebrate the end of January. We totally would.
Yeah.
But it's just not sexy to say, happy January is finally over day, right?
That's a good... Let's invent happy January is finally over day.
It's hard to fit that on one card.
Yes, that's tough. I'm not sure Hallmark would pick that one up.
Yeah.
And that card making thing has changed too. Like that's sending cards, because sending Valentine's in the mail is the biggest card mailing thing now.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, how sweet.
It has eviscerated Christmas as the big card mailing event. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. In the mail.
Yeah.
Or just Valentine's at school.
Oh, well, maybe it's Valentine's cards.
Because I know the boys used to come home with backpacks full of little...
Oh, maybe it's the actual cards.
Yeah.
Right, little more branded Christmas cards. Yeah.
You know, Spider-Man, Superman.
I know.
Star Wars, funny. Valentine's.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, the people who receive the most Valentine's?
Yes.
Teachers.
Aww.
Yeah. The most on the planet.
Oh.
And then the next most is children, mm-hmm. because of course they give each other Valentine's. And then mothers are next on the list.
Okay.
Like sweethearts are actually down on the list
way
somewhere.
Down on
yeah.
Well, so. I mean, hello. We do all the work. Sorry, not true. But you know what I mean? It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess so that this idea of a religious holy day and the concept of taking a vacation away from your vacating your current life,
mm-hmm.
It does stem back to the economic concept of leisure having value.
Yeah.
Right?
We used it way, way back a long time ago.
Because the cavemen were not like, where should we go?
Yeah.
I really need to get it. I'm so sick of this cave. Right? They don't say that. If anything, Honey. They would move in between seasons, right? So they'd have a winter site and a summer site, depending on what they could provide for their family. Oh, it's not like the Flintstones. They would pack a little bag and jump in and go to Rock Vegas.
Yeah.
But sorry, Giggle Fest.
We're so happy. God. That's what February is.
We're taking
is.
A vacation from our
that's right from our intellectual discussions.
And so eventually it evolved that people could move away from where they lived through modern transportation, you know, horse and buggy, carts, railroads, airplanes. Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Well, that's a huge development. Yes. People used to not go on airplanes very often unless you had a lot of money or were a business traveler.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like people jump on a plane without a second thought.
And so this idea that you could be born in the mountains and be able to see the shore, or be born on the ocean and be able to see the mountains, that was like a phenomenal concept.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
As I say, though, leisure as a commodity is, in the great timeline of history, relatively new.
Yeah.
Because this not so much for Canada, because the people who settled here, or, you know, the European settlers who came here were different than the ones who went to the U.S., but the ones in the U.S. were Puritans, right? And they were going to set up a more pure way of life.
Mm.
So for them, it was all about working, and then Sunday would be to worship the Lord. And so this idea of leisure was completely, had no value.
Yeah.
That's not your job.
Yeah.
You don't get to have that. Like, it wasn't even there'll be no fun. In fact, I saw...
there will be no fun.
No, there will be no fun. The Puritans.
Yes, the Puritans and Valentine's go together like this.
The Mayflower across the ocean to start a, you know...
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
What do they call it? Not Nirvana, but the other word.
I don't know.
Anyway, so that leisure was not part of the equation.
Right.
So there's this hilarious set of Valentine's cards on Facebook called Puritan Valentine's Card. And it says, Happy Valentine's Day. Let us never speak of this again. Roses are red, violets are blue, and neither are useful or necessary. Right? So
so there really was no fun.
No fun.
Oh my gosh.
Like a no fun zone.
That is not enjoyable. Yes. I mean, we have to have fun. And leisure was critically important. Leisure was a huge part of our lives. Even as hunter-gatherers, mm-hmm. we spent the large majority of our life in leisure activities.
Yes.
You know, we didn't go hunting
nearly as hard
oxen
as we do now.
Yeah, for 12 hours a day.
No,
you did that once, and then for 2 weeks you ate and did some berry collecting.
Totally.
Yeah. And played with your kids.
So what was happening, I think, is it was having a very negative health impact on these communities who never had any fun.
Mm.
And so community leaders, especially doctors, would say, all right, we need to take a vacation from this.
Ah.
Right?
To get abandoned.
And so holidays were also used to sort of have people reflect and get away from that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it would have been pretty miserable, I think.
Yes, I think so, too.
Right?
Well, when you it's have hot. No fun to look forward to, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's always about the next thing that you're going to do.
Yeah, and there's no joy, and we're not built for that. So I don't know how we got there, but I'm glad we're getting away from it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That leisure is expected, and that we should be okay with not doing anything.
Absolutely.
This is the other thing, too, about accomplishing things and being productive. I think that when, like, there was a time when it was considered, okay, now you have to do this for your employees, you'll get more productivity out of them, and you have to do this and give them this kind of vacation time and in-house childcare, and, right, like, all these things about increasing productivity. When we I think that just bled over into our personal lives, that we have to be productive every waking moment.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're starting to understand that you really should have some time every day where you don't do anything, where you're just quiet and reflective and maybe meditate, or maybe not, maybe just stare into space.
Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't have to be accomplishing.
Yeah. Right. So whereas before there was no leisure, then there started to be leisure, and then there was an exchange of value for leisure, right? So you live in the suburbs, but you could take the train into the city, and, you know, and then the arts come in. You could go to a play or, right?
Yeah, but even that,
go to a gallery.
Going to do things, like that's sort of recreation, sports, you know, cultural events, all of those things kind of still became part of that doing something.
Do something.
And now we know you don't have to be doing something every minute of every day.
No, you don't.
It's fun to do stuff.
Right. And the research is showing
you don't have to.
Showing very clearly that it's all about happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is different than productivity.
That, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it makes us healthy. When
just
we're happy, we make better
back
decisions.
Back to the doctor thing for
yes.
a second. Did you know?
I didn't know.
Doctors.
I'm going to find out,
you
though.
You are. Because I am full of interesting information today about Valentine's Day. Doctors prescribed chocolate in the 1900s.
Wow.
To help
get me one of those
to help you with pining for love.
Aww.
Yeah, that was basically your prescription for,
so if you were
you're pining for someone,
yes.
Here's some chocolate.
Hmm.
Yeah, just like Lupin on Harry Potter.
There you go.
Here's some chocolate. It'll make you feel better.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's true.
And it is true. It
makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Right? There's the endorphin thing. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, whatever the other, not cortisol is the stress one, but the other one. Anyway, it's all about kind of tricking your brain into feeling that happiness.
Yes.
And yeah, so it's kind of medicine.
Dopamine.
Yes.
Dopamine.
Yeah.
Happy dopamine day. See, there's another day. But now we've sort of co-opted this idea of a day. Everybody has a day.
I know.
Right?
I know. Like croissant day.
Croissant day.
Yeah.
Coffee day.
Cupcake day.
Yeah.
It's all about food.
It's true.
That's weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, here's something else that Valentine's
because
Day doesn't have to.
And
well, it's because we love food. Let's be realistic.
Yes.
It's our most creative sort of effort, right? In the world, we seem to be just, you know, always enthralled with making new and different kinds of food. And we have to eat, so it kind of fits into our everyday lives. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I guess it just comes back to, we think we're so clever and we're organizing this stuff for us, when actually it's human nature's organizing it for us. We're just following along.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, you have to eat.
Embellishing
and you have to sleep, right?
Yeah.
And
so just making that
have
more fun.
Some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can celebrate Singles Awareness Day,
oh.
which is also on February 14th. It's just, the only thing I don't like about that is the acronym it makes.
Single Awareness Sad.
Yeah,
oh,
that's terrible.
On.
So here's another alternative. So a group of feminists called this day Quirky Alone Day.
Oh.
Yeah. And so for them, it's about resisting the tyranny of coupledom.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you can call it Quirky Alone Day instead.
I would prefer resisting the tyranny of coupledom day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. Yeah. And then if you're in Finland, because not very many countries actually celebrate Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you know, just only about probably a dozen or so. But in Finland, Valentine's Day, like on February 14th, that's actually called Istvanpava.
Yes.
No, Istvanpava, something like that.
I wouldn't.
Which translates into Friends Day.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's what it should be.
And it's about celebrating your buddies,
yes,
your friends, and you just go and make sure you're spending your time with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Perfect.
That's a way better way,
yes,
to celebrate February 14th.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And this year it falls during Lent, which is unusual, but...
Is that unusual?
Yeah. It's just the moons decide when Easter is, and the calendar decides when everything else is. So,
yeah.
Normally Valentine's wouldn't be... Valentine's would fall sort of in carnival season, which is usually that first 2 weeks of February. So I think the... I think in Venice, their carnival, Quebec City's carnival,
yeah,
Winterlude in Ottawa, Mardi Gras, they're all done before Lent.
Right.
Because it's not appropriate to party during Lent.
Yeah.
I mean.
So what do you do if you would like to celebrate Valentine's Day and you're also Catholic?
Well, if whatever it is you decide to give up, you don't do it that day.
It's really,
it's not
everything that you're supposed to not do happens on Valentine's mm-hmm. Day.
Do I guess go early.
Just celebrate on February 4th or something.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But is it an early Easter this year?
Yes, is that it is why? Early. Yes.
It's not usual for Easter to be in March,
no,
is it?
That's right.
But it's like March 25th or something, mm-hmm. isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's happens. The first full moon after the spring equinox.
Something like that.
And it just, yeah, so
to do
if
with
the spring
moons.
Equinox is like March 21st.
Yes.
Then if the
there
first full moon is only a few days after, yeah, then whammo,
bingo,
there
bingo,
it is.
Bongo. Yeah, yeah, that's how it works. Whereas everything else is tied to the calendar.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I find interesting about these days, like well, we call it Valentine's Day, but mm-hmm. in French it's Saint-Valentin. And he's a saint, but it's not really a day marked in the church at all.
Right? Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day either.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think...
So I just don't know how we went from this, the guy who got rid of the snakes in Ireland to the green beer. I don't understand.
Yeah, no.
Right? And so how we...
It's commercial.
Co-op these things. Probably. It's probably a Guinness thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the chocolates thing too. Like, you know, doctors prescribe chocolate for this love sickness. But it was Rogers who actually... developed the box of chocolates.
Oh.
Yeah, to start selling to people. So that was
Rogers?
Or no, sorry, wait a minute. Okay, I have all of my things written down, but I've got so much.
Oh, yeah, there's so much.
About that. Okay, hold on.
Well,
so
someone saw an opportunity, and
billion,
good for them. I would much rather have a box of chocolates than...
$1 billion a year is, yes, spent on chocolate on Valentine's Day. And 50% of all North Americans actually buy candy. On Valentine's
on
Day, or for Valentine's
Day.
So, yes, like half of all people will buy stuff, sugary stuff to eat. And then just as a extra little thing, they're the only chocolatey sort of Valentine, iconic Valentine thing is the, that little chalk candy. The,
oh, yeah, sweethearts.
That say, yeah,
yeah.
That say stuff like,
be mine.
Kiss me. And
I was eating those
call
yesterday.
Me. Oh, really?
Yeah, I had a little stash of candy in my desk at council.
Cadbury. That's who made the first box of chocolates.
Of
sorry.
Cadbury.
Richard Cadbury produced the first box of chocolates for Valentine's Day in the late 1800s. And now more than 35 million heart-shaped boxes of chocolate will be sold on Valentine's
yes.
Day. But yes, so the those little Valentine's Day kisses or the things with the writing.
Yes.
10 new phrases every year are added to those.
Huh. I
yeah.
wonder what they are this year. Maybe emoticons.
Hey, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Or
there's things
bae.
Like, yeah, like what up?
What up?
Yeah, it's kind of all the
yeah, yeah.
trendy.
The cool kids are saying.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an ever-evolving candy.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, the chocolate thing is kind of insane. And also...
And roses. Where does that come from?
I don't know, but 110 million red roses will be sold and delivered in the three-day period around Valentine's Day.
I don't know.
I know.
I'm not into the floral tributes. I really... It's not my
no.
thing.
Well, you know what?
I do like a nice... some fresh tulips, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And I usually buy them for myself. Yay, me.
I think there's a huge percentage of people that buy that send themselves flowers on Valentine's
oh,
Day, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't think that's good
yay
for
me.
Your heart.
Probably not.
No.
But that's because there's that huge sort of feeling, like the herd mentality, like we got to do something on Valentine's Day. I got to get flowers. I got to get candy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like we just... These things have become normalized, and
that's true. That's a good word, normalized.
Yeah, and there's no not necessarily meaning behind it, or mm-hmm. even love behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we feel like we gotta do mm-hmm. this stuff.
Well, I mean, we're creatures of habit, and these are rituals, and whether it's bunnies laying chocolate eggs in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Which is totally random. But there must be a reason. And I think it's fertility, because bunnies are very fertile.
Yes, yes. It probably all goes back to fertility.
Yes.
Did you know that 3% of pet owners will get a Valentine's Day gift for their pet?
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine? Here's a heart-shaped dog biscuit.
Aww.
Yeah,
well, it's our spirit of love. What are you going to do?
The spirit. We'll go with that, yeah.
Yes. But then there's other days, like Halloween was also a religious holiday.
Yes. Well, All Hallows Eve is about that sort of pre-partying idea again, right? Because of All Saints Day on November 1st. Mm-hmm. So you get to do...
Yeah, it's like the Mardi Gras of the fall.
Yeah.
Huh.
I know. And a big expenditure of candy again. Yes.
But again,
you just gotta wonder.
You know, it's Halloween is no longer marked in the... It's not like there's a Halloween mass.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah. I don't know. Who goes to church on November 1st to celebrate All Saints Day? Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's something.
Well, maybe some people do, but it's not a thing. Like, that's the thing. Like, we seem to celebrate the party before, mm-hmm. but we don't celebrate the holy day that it was meant to mark.
So they should be called pre-holy days.
Pre-holy days.
Yes. I'm going on a pre-holy day.
Yeah, or we should invent a new word that basically means...
I mean, it's even called holiday pay.
Corporations have taken over this holiday, and now we buy lots of stuff.
Or they've made it easier to celebrate. Depends how you look at it.
Oh, the glass half full, isn't
it? Well, I mean, someone saw an opportunity.
Yes.
Right?
That's true.
I'm not going to lie. I don't mind a box of chocolates now and then, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I like my chocolate, too.
See?
It's a little bit of higher pressure, though, it's when just, you know you're being sold to.
I think it's the pressure piece. And it's true. Halloween is second only to Christmas now.
Yeah.
Right?
And just wait till we get close to Easter.
We are kind of cranking up the machine.
Oh, gosh, are we ever. Because these holidays are seen as economic generators.
Yes.
And they're like, because it's a ritual, like we said, right? And we're creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. If we're told that, okay, this is the time, you got to buy this and this and this, then retailers, corporations, everybody counts on that. Okay, mm-hmm. let's do a big marketing thing mm-hmm. and we'll make sure people buy this and this and this for this holiday because mm-hmm. it's a guaranteed sale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
It's true. And we have to tie things to rituals. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're a capitalist society and we do kind of tend to... turn things that are guaranteed mm-hmm. into income.
Yeah, and it's the commodification of leisure, right?
Ooh, that's deep.
So say 100 years ago, I think it probably started when Disneyland was built.
A whole lot of stuff happened when Disneyland was built. That was so cutting edge.
So this idea of creating an artificial space from which you can vacate your life.
Yeah, and destination.
Go to this, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrowland, Futureland.
Yeah.
Fantasyland. They all have some sort of fantastic element, right?
Well, exactly. The element of escape.
Mm-hmm.
So now what is it about vacations that make us want to escape? And almost every vacation marketing campaign is about that.
Mm-hmm.
Escape your life. Mm-hmm. Escape the,
you know, the drudgery that is your daily life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always think if you really need a vacation, and I sort of feel like I could use a bit of a break, it's time to re-examine, you know, what's going on.
Yeah. Well, and it's true. Have you ever been anywhere? Like, have you ever gone someplace where you've been disconnected? You're kind of forced to not interact with people. It's like out on a cottage, like a boat access only cabin or something.
I like being out.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of clarity that comes after a few days. Mm-hmm. You really do examine your life.
And the way we sort of take all our possessions that we think we can't live without, right? I need my coffee maker and my kettles and my pillow and my cozy blanket and the tent. And I'm going and I'm not coming back to town until my vacation is over.
Yeah.
So, but I think we used to just go to the cottage or go to camp.
Yeah.
Or, right?
Yeah.
But then after the 50s, 40s, maybe it was after the war, there's some pretty horrible things happened that people probably needed to escape from.
Mm.
And this idea of creating this artificial paradise, right?
Yeah.
Which is really what Disney World was.
Yeah.
I mean, beautifully designed, creative, but still artificial
mm-hmm.
paradise, mm-hmm. you know, like a faux
yeah.
thing. And now it's it's spread. Like, there's Disneyland, there's Disney World, there's Euro Disney.
Yeah, and there's like all, like Hershey's has an amusement park. Like,
right.
All of these.
So everybody's.
Everybody's got a thing to escape to.
Jumped on board. There's, yeah. There's Disney cruises, there's themed cruises, there's gated resorts.
I know. Well, this destination right? resort yes. where you basically arrive, you get shuttled from your airport to this place where you are in a bubble and you don't get to interact with anything cultural in the area because this resort is all inclusive mm-hmm. and you just sit in a beach and people bring you drinks and well, I don't know.
So it's the Disneyland of vacations.
Yeah.
Right?
Because so
this
it is,
idea
it's
of
artificial.
Creating this artificial place of escape is a way what the story of the Europeans coming over here was. They were coming here, well, especially the Americans. See, the Canadian settlers who came over were sort of kicked out. Like, you have to go because we don't have enough food and we don't have enough work for you. So please go and figure something out. And if you find anything, send it back and we'll pay you for it. Basically is that
yeah.
story. But it was different in the States. They're trying to build that Puritan lifestyle, you know, the perfect can't remember the word. It's a synonym of nirvana.
Utopia?
Utopia. Thank you very much. 2 points for Chasey.
Yay.
And now we're still doing that. Like, I went to the most perfect resort.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That is so interesting because I always thought, I guess, you know, I've seen this change. I've seen people
I mean,
taking vacations
in the last 25 years.
Yes, well, that's the thing.
There like, were none of these
I know.
When I was little.
And that's the thing, like in families, because people who I know are my kids, friends, families, they're going to these places with their kids. So they, and this is something that, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, families didn't go on vacations every spring break and every summer no. and every Christmas and, right? Like you no. didn't go away on a plane. Well,
you went to grandma's house for Christmas and you went, you might go somewhere on March break or...
I don't remember going no. anywhere except in the summer.
Yeah.
We go came out because I lived in Ontario.
And yeah.
Like
come
twice we came
family.
Out to BC or yeah. something, right? Like, yeah, it was, that was about it. We didn't, yeah, we just
so
didn't
we're reshaping
go very
what,
far.
What vacationing looks like. How do you escape your life? So the question yeah. is, to where do you escape?
But now it's like other people are curating how we escape,
mm-hmm.
right? We used to curate our own experiences.
Sure. I mean, and that's practical, ritualized. Here, you come here, we'll feed you, we'll entertain you, we'll provide a swimming pool and as much cheap rum as you can drink.
Yeah. And is that because we don't want to have to think about
Could
that
be.
Anymore?
I mean, we live, like, I don't know about you, but I probably make 1,000 decisions a day. I wouldn't mind if someone just said, here, here's a pool and a chair
yeah.
and a table. And there's beer over there. Yeah. Giddy up. Okay. Right? That's okay. I'll give my brain a break.
Well, we've talked about decision making. Our whole show about decision making was kind of based on how to simplify that process because mm-hmm. we've become overwhelmed with decisions.
Yeah, it's like decision fatigue.
Yes.
Yes.
And maybe that's exactly why yeah. those kinds of resorts have popped up.
Because what I always find funny is this resort idea reminds me of, you know, in the early 1900s, they had sanatoriums,
mm-hmm.
right? Where you would go to get well and they would take care of you.
Yeah.
And in a way, you know, stick a margarita in a swimming pool and we're good to go. Right?
Well, and a lot of places
like,
that
it's almost
treated...
like we're taking refuge from the insanity of our lives.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you can't put that on a brochure.
And when there's some of the, you know, artists and writers and, you know, people from the sort of late 1800s, early 1900s were in the writings about them needing treatment for various mental illnesses.
Yes.
Lots of time those treatments were baths with essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
That was the treatment.
And special
so what is that?
Concoction.
It's a spa.
Totally.
Like, we're spawing.
Mm-hmm.
We're still spawing. Mm-hmm. It's just that we've made it more
Yeah. I mean,
ritzy.
This is not a character... flaw or
no
or it's just I just find it so interesting how this the idea of escaping or vacationing from your life means being removed from it and input into something else where
yeah
all the decisions are made
yeah
right and it is I went on one I loved it I would go again.
You went on an all-inclusive?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
We went to Cuba.
What?
And every day my biggest job was to go down to the pool and put towels on the chairs because it can get busy at the pool. That was it.
Wow.
And it was such a mental break.
Yeah.
Right?
And so did you come
like, it's
home?
Not the criticism of the vacation so much as the, holy, what kind of life am I leading that is, you know,
yeah,
I need that much simplicity.
But did you have an epiphany while there that when you came back, you changed something about your life?
Oh, gosh, no. No, I came back thinking, I really like rum now. I'd never really, because they drink lots of rum in Cuba, and it was lovely.
You learn things. Yeah. So, because I kind of felt like
lots
that's
of music.
The
I mean, point. I'd like that. But.
Yeah. But that's, for me, that's part of the point of a vacation. Take you out of your environment that you're
definitely was and then, not a learning journey in any way, shape, or form.
But I mean, not necessarily that I feel like you have to learn something, but I feel like you always have to reflect on your life. Mm-hmm. You have to pull yourself out of the picture in order to look back at the picture mm-hmm. and say, what is it I can probably shift or move or change or drop to make my life a little bit simpler and,
right.
and happier?
Yes.
Because we do get caught up in
totally.
In the stuff.
Yeah. And I actually think in Western civilization, we are chronically fatigued, mm-hmm. which is why these all-inclusives are such a tonic.
Yeah.
Because you sleep and eat and drink and don't have any decisions to make and come back rested. And
Why
you know,
are we,
quote-unquote, back to the real world, which is unfortunate because, you know, the world's pretty real for the people who are working at the resorts.
Yeah, no kidding. And what is with this busyness thing?
I don't know.
Like, I keep thinking about this. It comes up in conversation now and again about how busy everybody is and how we don't visit with our neighbors anymore. We don't visit with friends. Sometimes we go months without seeing close friends. Mm-hmm. Why? And we all say it's because we're so busy.
So busy.
But we didn't used to be this busy.
Yeah.
So what is going on?
I don't know. It's the cult of busyness. There's a great article in the New York Times from about 3 years ago called The Cult of Busyness, I think.
Hmm.
I think you read it. It's about the guy who retired and now all he wants to do is read a book and ride his bicycle and his friends are like frowning upon him. It probably comes back to this Puritan thing. Salvation through suffering. You must be useful and provide. Right?
Yeah.
But who's to say? I don't know. I it's something I struggle with all the time.
Yeah.
And commitment, and you don't want to let people down, and you want to get the job done, and you want people to be proud of your work. You want to be proud of your work.
Yeah.
Right? In some ways, it's kind of like blah, blah, blah. Like, no puppies will die. Whatever. Right?
That's true.
So.
But we're.
Or even
but
people
that's how
who
we justify
are,
it.
Right? And so people are working longer
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to retire. Why don't they want to retire? Because they want to feel useful.
Mm-hmm.
And or they need to make more money.
Yeah.
So it used to be you would work in exchange for leisure time. Now we're just working in exchange for money. So since we can't afford much leisure time, we're sort of, you know, trying to Ziploc it in a big bag and get it all in there.
Yeah, so that's what we spend our money on.
Totally.
Is the little package of leisure.
Yes.
Once or twice a year.
Yes.
At a destination
right.
resort. Yeah.
But and then there's, which I think is completely different from traveling. Like to go on an adventure or a journey like you're planning with your family. That is not, trust me, that's not a vacation.
Well, we're vacating.
Well, I mean, this sounds, you
we're
know
vacating
I mean?
Our like, home, but we're not necessarily, that's not for sitting on a beach, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And we're going to be going.
I would go back east with my kids to see my parents. And people would say, well, that must be nice, a whole month's vacation. I'd be like, newsflash, not a vacation, not a holiday.
No.
Right?
No, because most of your
lovely,
responsibilities
pleasant,
are still there. It's
absolutely.
Only yeah. And especially because you have a mobile business.
Yeah.
And so people still demand things of
yes.
you.
Yes. But when you go to Europe, you know, every day is going to be work.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be different kinds of work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So really it's about replacing drudgery with, like, you're not going to be any less busy. You're not going to spend any less money.
That's for sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There'll probably be moments of stress, but it'll be new stress.
Yeah.
A different currency.
Yeah.
Places you've never seen before. So
just
you're just
like
replacing right?
Just like the brain experience thing, right? When you change, if you change what your brain experiences, then you have the abilities to solve problems mm-hmm. easier because mm-hmm. we're not in the rut. So I just want to get back a couple of steps to the busyness factor.
Yes.
Do you think it's
the
maybe
cult
our
of busy? It's called the New York Times article. It's so
I'm
worth reading.
Wondering if it's about our higher expectations, like as a society, we have higher expectations of things to do, quality activities and quality workplaces, quality product, right? Like we do have kind of I have higher expectations of other things around me. And I feel like people have expectations of us at the Arts Center. So I feel like some of the busyness comes from because we should be providing this service mm-hmm. because people demand the service.
It's the cult of excellence, maybe? The cult of I'm better than you?
I don't know. I guess I'm just wanting to explore that mm-hmm. and think about it more because it is something for a while there. We did a little bit of a reevaluation of some of our services because we recognized that we were spending a lot of resources, and that would be like staff time, volunteer time, maybe money, because we usually do things on the cheap, but we were spending a lot of resources on certain programs and certain services that weren't necessarily bringing in not just people, but
not meeting
that
the
sort of experience.
Yes.
Yeah. The experience outcome. Mm-hmm. And so we've been rejigging some of our programs to kind of be more suitable to the whole community, more like, you know, just be a better service. And that was an important process, I think, to go through, but I think we're still going through it because we still have a lot on our plate, right? Lots of things to provide.
Mm-hmm. So, well, is anyway, it a moving target, or is it like that point in the horizon that the more you look, you think it's close, but you never really get there. Maybe it. You know, is that that's like the human journey is that line, that dot on the horizon. And it doesn't matter how far you work because it keeps moving.
Yeah, that's probably it. Mm-hmm. Which maybe is what keeps us
striving
forward.
So every now and then
forward.
We stop and just have a little nap on the beach and then keep going.
I like that nap on the beach
plan. Oh, doesn't that sound delightful?
Yeah. Maybe I'll try that one day over in Europe.
Well, I hope so.
On the Mediterranean.
You have to have like down days.
Yeah.
One day on, one day off. One day on, one day off.
Yeah. I think that we'll have to try to do that because that seems to be...
Otherwise, it's frantic. And then you're like, well, I can't wait to get home. I'm so tired.
Yeah. Then I need a vacation.
Yes.
Lots of people say that. I need a holiday to recover from my vacation.
I know, but isn't that something? We need a vacation from our vacation.
Yeah. And now...
As the art world turns... A dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, we have lots of drama around here, but it's hard to stop.
We're totally giggling. We're like having a little vacation from our very serious lives.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's, coming here on Wednesday mornings, it's a totally different experience.
It's not a holiday.
Not a holiday, but it's a different experience.
Vacation.
And so maybe because we vacated our places of work to come here and volunteer for this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we'll call it a vacation.
Well, there you go. Speaking of vacations, you may need accommodation when you go on vacation.
Yes. Hello, Airbnb.
I know. There's in Chicago, artists have recreated Van Gogh's lovely painting of the room.
The room.
Yes. And so you can stay in it.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's like sleeping in a painting.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be fun?
The ultimate tableau vivant.
Yes. And all you have to do is pay $10 for the Airbnb booking. Yeah. But you have to pay to get into the museum in Chicago.
It's in the museum?
Yes.
But you could sleep
there? But they recreated four rooms based on his paintings.
Oh, my gosh. Because there would be the red room.
Yeah.
Which room is this?
I'm looking it up now.
Because he stayed in an asylum, and he stayed in like that little tiny tavern place.
It's the little, let's see. Just close your eyes and think about Van Gogh's paintings and the room.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where you can stay.
All right. Well, and you can see pictures online.
Yes. Unfortunately, I have Puritan Valentine cards on my desktop, and it seems to have overwritten. How cruel.
So this is an interesting development in the Airbnb thing, too, that there's, I mean, first it was just an opportunity for people to open up their homes when they had a spare room. And now, like this kind of example, it's become a thematic kind of, it's an artistic expression.
Absolutely.
People are creating experiences by decorating their spare rooms or whatever their situation
of a,
and putting it out there.
A glimpse into someone else's life.
Yeah.
Plus it's the whole sharing economy, mm-hmm. which does what? Frees up so much capital.
Yeah.
Right? So that we have more
leisure
time.
Yeah. It's true because you know how there's always that argument about like schools sit empty all summer and churches sit empty all week and like they don't really, right? Like there's things going on. There's people are using these buildings, but it is kind of an interesting concept to keep the multi-purpose facet going and try to push it even further and further so that nothing sits empty for anything.
Yeah.
We are utilizing everything to its fullest ability.
Yes. Yeah. And the thinking is changing on that. You know, this idea that, again, going back to the Middle Ages, there were kings and empires and you can't cross that river and this belongs to me and all of that with free trade and, you know, everything is opening up now.
Yeah.
And so this idea of building little empires isn't really working.
Okay, anymore. Except that it's still, I mean, that's, to me, sitting on the outside, and I'm not an economist, but when I see these trade deals, I feel like it's still empire building because the controls that are put in place feel like they benefit a very few people.
I totally understand that. But if you think about, say, if you go back to when Spain was the most powerful country in the world, they hoarded all their cash and they wouldn't let anything out. And then the economy collapsed, right? So we can't look at a trade deal in terms of, oh, let's just look at this trade deal. We need to look at trade in the history of trade, right? And how do we make it better, more open, right? How do we open up all that opportunity for everyone?
Right. But is that happening with all the trade deals that are going on?
Well, the TPP is meant to, holy dramatic moment is way sidebar, but it's opening up the whole Trans-Pacific, all those countries, right? And so I think it's important to assume that we all can be good at something and that we all have to have access to those.
I know the theory is there.
Yes.
But in practicality.
Well, I mean, I just think it's part of a longer, hundreds of years old conversation. Mm. And it is about, you know, the sharing economy is here.
So maybe those kinds of trade agreements are like the controls that are put in for those things, like all the countries that have kind of said, okay, this is where we want to put all of our efforts. Those things are just going to be on paper because the new sharing economy will evolve the way it's going to evolve.
I think so, yes. And so legislation is always a result of, I think, of what's happening in the world anyway.
Yeah.
And
then I hope
like today there's a huge protest in Montreal. Total nightmare. 800 cabs circling the airport. Nobody can get in or out because they're frustrated by Uber.
Oh, yes.
But that's not going to change the fact that the sharing economy is here.
Yeah.
And so BC has said, okay, all right, we get it. We're trying to figure out how to make this work. Mm-hmm. And that's important.
Yeah.
And Edmonton has said, okay, we figured it out. We're getting it. Mm-hmm. Right? So
because people will still make it happen. Yeah. Like there's enough population that we can't be controlled anymore by the big.
And government lags, you know, there's a lag. Government responds to. Mm-hmm. So, but Airbnb, biggest hotel chain in the world, not a single room.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
It's really mind-blowing when you think about it.
Yeah. And what kind of different experiences it's providing everybody too.
Totally. So, yeah. I mean, right now I would like a vacation. That would be great. A beach and a pool and something in a swim-up bar type of thing. Perfect.
Yeah.
But my preference is more to exchange experiences, right? So I would love to do a house exchange.
Yeah.
I would love to do what you're doing with your family this summer, right? But you need to rest up for that.
Yeah.
It's like a marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's been so long in the making, so long in the planning.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And we are taking time to have a day on, a day off. And,
yeah. It's a great idea.
Because I don't want to be.
No.
I don't want to come home and go.
Burnt out.
Yeah.
So tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. We're chronically under-rested, chronically fatigued.
I know.
Yeah.
That's got to change too, because the pressures of all of the busyness is going to have to collapse at some point too. And we're going to have a leisure virus or something.
Yeah.
Where we have no choice but to just lay down.
Right.
I don't know.
So sometimes I think we get tired because we're using yesterday's solutions to solve tomorrow's problems.
Oh.
Which is so exhausting.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. There's got to be some duct tape here somewhere. Okay, I'll go look for the duct tape. Oh, that doesn't work. Right? Whereas if we started thinking about how do we solve future problems,
Yeah.
Right. And that's where the innovation piece and those innovative thinkers are thinking about things, and they're having way more fun and they're being capitalized more easily. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the new economy.
Yes. That's the new economy.
Like, and that's what's been talked about all over the world these past, you know, a few weeks after Davos and everything, that the new economy is an intellectual property kind of economy. Mm-hmm. It's about innovation and it's not about pulling stuff out of the ground.
No, and we need to, embrace, that we are capable of change.
Yeah.
So capable.
Yeah. And that the world is changing.
Otherwise, whether we'd still be in caves going, oh, I don't know, we should winter over there this time, right? Like, that's all they did.
I was still thinking about that moment, sitting in your cave. Where should we go?
Where should we go?
On our annual holiday.
Rock Vegas.
Yeah.
I loved the Flintstones. It was such a clever satire on our daily lives.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a little
French. Too.
Here's a little vacation you could do for Valentine's
Day.
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay,
let's go on a vacay.
I just caught this because, you know, I'm interested in how contemporary art deals with these kinds of things, right?
Like, yeah. Sometimes how can you solve that problem?
Yeah.
How can you give people a vacation away from their?
So I happened to stumble across that MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art, offers a Valentine's Day event for couples. So it's the Valentine package would be that you arrive at the MoMA after hours. You're greeted by a candlelit reception with wine, hors d'oeuvres, and things like smoked salmon, wrapped celery hearts, and creme fraiche and black American caviar.
Ooh.
Yeah, like seriously.
Swanky.
Yeah. And then you go on, then you have your little sweet treat, and then you go on a private tour. And an art historian will take you on a tour of the most romantic historical paintings that the MoMA has. So you would see Henri Matisse's Dance, you'd see Andrew Wyeth's Christina's World, and you get to see Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. And then you'd also be able to visit the exhibition for this year is The Paris of Toulouse-Lautrec, Prints and Posters, which explores the rise of nightlife culture and the pleasures of Belle Époque Paris.
Oh, I love that aesthetic. Toulouse-Lautrec.
Yeah. Ugh. All yours for just $200.
That's
per couple. I know.
Hello.
It's pretty good.
Have you taken your family through the drive-thru lately? That's great.
Yeah. So in terms of...
Okay, let's do it.
Create... Yeah, okay. Oh, no. In terms of creative ways to celebrate these regular rituals, you don't have to do the regular stuff.
No, you don't have to do the regular stuff. And you know what? You don't have to be a couple to celebrate Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Take your girlfriends and have a book club or
Istavan Peva. Celebrate your friends.
Right?
Yeah.
And do take your grandma out for dinner or just something fun.
Yeah.
Just it's not about what you celebrate, it's the fact that you're celebrating something.
Yes. Yes.
I think.
You're performing a ritual, which is a healthy, important part of getting through our daily lives, right?
Yeah.
When we have all these other things that are not ritualized.
Right.
We have to make sure that we stop and celebrate. Mm-hmm.
It's salvation through celebration, not salvation suffering. And the sooner we learn that, my goodness, we'll be so much happier.
Yes.
And remember, happy people make good decisions.
Yes, that's true.
And happy people go to the gallery. And what else do happy people do?
Sponsor radio shows?
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
We have so much to celebrate in art and design in this community. And maybe we have a couple minutes left to...
Yes, to talk about our upcoming arts events. So just in case you don't already know, you can find arts events on our website at salmonarmartscenter.ca under the participate link. And some of the things coming up, Salmon Arm Actors Studio is doing a dinner theater, Funkin' Dead.
Mm.
Gotta be careful how you say that.
Mm-hmm.
So February 12th to 13th and 19th and 20th, you can get tickets at Entwine. So dinner theater is a bigger event, right? You get to sit around and eat and watch people act crazy on stage. It's perfect. $60 to do that. Ancora Women's Ensemble is having a concert on Saturday, February 13th, 2 o'clock, St. John's Anglican's Church. And then starting February 19th, on weekends, Shoeswap Theater is doing a production called Well Farewell.
Lovely.
Yeah, and they do 3 weekends in a row, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think. And you can get tickets at Entwined for that as well.
Lovely.
$20.
And there's the exhibit on now at the gallery.
Yep, the members show on Tuesday to Saturday, 11 till 4.
Film festival's coming.
Real Lunch is on Sunday this year. And probably for the rest of all time. Talk about making sure our resources are spent well.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a big Sunday soup day on the 21st.
Yeah. So
and the film festival stuff is all up on shoeswapfilm.net.
Yeah. So please celebrate something.
Yeah.
whatever.
Make your own rituals.
Exactly.
Have a wonderful week, everyone.
And we'll talk to you next time.